nice slurp. You got me saying half of a word as the music started.
Oh, yeah.
It surprised Andrew. He did a big slurp on Mike.
I did actually think I was slurping far enough away, and honestly, I maybe still did, but definitely did not.
Who knows? Well, depending on how good your headphones are or your car stereo.
Mm-hmm. You may have heard just the refreshing taste of coffee. We love coffee.
We love coffee. Send us your coffee.
Send us your coffee.
Andrew gave me a bag of coffee that is so good, and I had a tangential relationship with the people who create it and brew it, and I was so shocked to see it out of its home in Austin. It's called Flat Track, and it's so damn good. This is not an ad, but you gave it to me, and I was like, I know the people who do this, and you were like, all right, dog, like, I just bought some good coffee. What are you doing?
No, it was because you're, old my fucking Nate loved it so much on our camping trip.
Nate really did rave about, Nate will rave about a diner breakfast or a good cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Like, he has never been anything but 65 years old.
I think he got caught up in the moment, because I made the coffee that time when I went on camping with Nate when you were out of town, when we took the big, everyone went on vacation.
Uh-huh.
I made the coffee like drugs, like a little scale and all this shit. And I think that ritual made it feel more good.
I tell you what, we've been making it without the drug ritual scale, and he's still just like, every sip, he's like, man, this is great coffee. Like, he has a quiet little old guy exclamation.
Damn.
We love coffee is what we're saying. You know what we don't love? Racism. Oh, this is Yo, Is This Racist? The podcast where we take your voicemails about racism and we solve them with Elba's special guest.
Oh, boy.
But we talk about some news and apparently coffee.
That's Toddy Newsome. I'm Andrew T.
Yeah.
We did all the stuff.
Yeah. We got producer Zig in the house. We got Jordan on the ones and twos. Kill me now. Just leave me in the street.
God, good energy this week. Solid, solid energy.
Solid, weird energy. Andrew, what you been up to this week?
Oh, my God. I don't know. Nothing? I made a weed tincture. Oh, my God. I did. So I made weed tincture because I have too much weed in my house. And so I thought, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn it into booze.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I made all this weed tincture shit. I have no idea how strong it is.
Get crossfaded, man.
I suspect it's far too strong because I tried on the same scale I used to weigh my coffee. I poured out 2.5 grams of it,
which
is a teeny tiny sip of it. I drank it right before going to bed. I didn't feel super high, but then the reason I'm telling you this, it is relevant. I had like a weird nightmare, but it was like a nightmare that was super boring, but we were podcasting, you and I and Zig and Jordan, I think. I don't totally remember everyone that was there because it was a little weird.
It's weird you call this a nightmare, but okay.
But then we like somehow knew a nuclear bomb was going to hit LA.
I follow now.
But we finished doing the podcast.
Honestly, that tracks.
And then it was one of those dreams that felt like it was in real time. So it was like a, I don't know, 2.5 hour dream or something like that. Like, we're like, well, there's the kind of like no point in like going anywhere. So we might as well keep doing the podcast.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So that people have something to listen to in the end of days.
I guess. I don't really know. It was kind of just one of those, but like, it was like scary, but like no one was like freaking out or anything.
Sure.
Anyway.
Well, hey.
So that's all I've been up to.
That's all you've been up to.
Processing that.
Is getting homebrew high.
Yeah.
And then having dull.
Like, it was definitely a nightmare. Like, it was scary. And when I woke up, I was like stressed out.
Yeah.
But at the time, I was just like, that's weird.
Yeah.
Is that a nightmare?
It definitely sounds like a slow-moving, hard time.
Yeah. Like, it wasn't fun.
No, it didn't sound like an exciting, like, I did this cool thing in my dream. No,
we also didn't talk about the impending nuclear bomb
that
on
also
the
sounds
podcast
like
that
we Probably because
we
hadn't
doing.
Researched it.
Oh, good God. That's correct.
So we were like, we have no business. We're like,
filibustering.
Go listen to Love It or Leave It if you want to really know about the,
honestly,
the nuclear
else.
Bomb. Yeah. You were on Daily Zeitgeist.
Oh, yeah.
I saw some tweets about that. People loved you on there.
The main thing about being on Daily Zeitgeist was it was very funny because I think the episode came out, and on it I was like, Twitter's good, actually. Like, I know there's all these fucking racists on Twitter, whatever. But, you know, ultimately it's good. I just block the racists. And then there was a an article. I saw it first on Vice, on Motherboard. But essentially, it was that Twitter won't treat white supremacists the same way they do, for instance, like ISIS or whatever. Mm-hmm. Because if they were to automate that, it would, like, bring... Like, they would have to ban, like, half of the Republican, like half the Republican politicians.
Right. Like, the algorithm that they use would flag certain words or certain like shares articles from articles from, like, Breitbart and sites like that. And it would mean banning half of our public servants.
A quarter of our public servants, maybe, something like that. But the point is that from an, you know... Tech people like to pretend they're so fucking objective or whatever, mm-hmm. but obviously they're not. And like the fact that they're like, well, we're not going to ban these clear Nazis because they're powerful is fucking disgusting. Fuck Twitter. I'm back to fuck Twitter.
In this article, the source was like a, you know, some tech insider person who didn't want to be named, obviously. You know, admitted that by creating those algorithms that keep ISIS and hate rhetoric like that off of Twitter, they also are blocking a lot of like Arabic language translator sites mm-hmm. and stuff. So like innocent people get swept up into that algorithm too. But in America, it sounds like we don't care so much because...
Well, we fully don't care.
I guess we don't care so much. Yeah. So it's like, it's saying the same reason why they won't do it for the politicians. It's already happening. It's not that they're so moral that they're like, you know, not trying, just like, we can't block any innocents. They definitely are blocking innocents, just not the white Republican ones.
So here's this actually dovetails to a thing that I did not clear with you and Zig before we started, but I'm just going to say it.
Oh, no.
So this like, I can't tell if it was like a podcast aggregator or something like that, like reached out to me essentially, but to the sort of open Yo Is This Racist inbox on Earwolf, and sent an email that was basically like, you know, we have a new podcast platform. I'm not going to name it because fuck them. And they were like, do you want to be featured on here? And sent a screen grab of their thing. And all of the comments, I went to the actual link, all of the comments are like negative comments from racists.
Oh, my God. And that's the screen grab they sent.
Yeah, which is hilarious. So I sent them a reply back. The comments are all like from like, oh, this is the real racism kind of, you know, racist, whatever, it's fine.
And no, we won't name this company, but like, if you're listening, your logo fucking sucks. Get a graphic designer, man. I'm sorry, it's 2019.
So
get
a graphic designer. 80% of the comments on the redacted page for us are from racists who don't like what we're doing, so I suspect this isn't a good fit. And then they like reached out, and then one of the employees reached out. It was just like, you know, blah, blah, blah. I know there's a lot of like, she framed it in like the most fucking disgusting way. We do see a lot of quote, strongly opinionated commenters on liberal/social justice related shows.
Racists.
So
bigots. These are words.
I'm going to read my reply. And this really goes for the fucking entire tech industry. I don't know why I'm about to give you some corporate strategy consulting for free, but here you go. The fact that you have a culture or mindset that you call these racists, quote, strongly opinionated commenters, speaks incredibly poorly for your ability to get a handle on this issue. It honestly doesn't matter if it is a reflection of the entire user base or just the most vocal listeners. And honestly, the fact that you can't just pull that from a quick perusal of your user data is troubling. But the fact is, you're letting these bigots set the tone for your community. And I know that your boss must likely frame this issue as a quote free speech issue, or that you guys are quote content agnostic as far as the comments go, but I'm guessing without looking at your site that you would take down comments that are, say, illegal, threats, copyright issues, child pornography, etc. And because of that, you are in fact editorializing with what you allow on your all caps private platform. Boom. Like it or not. I won't read the rest of this, but my point is, it's like these fucking like Twitter and like social media and Silicon Valley assholes like seem to believe they like to say it's about free speech and like everyone mm-hmm. can say anything, except it's not. Like, they are clearly editorializing what they believe is acceptable and unacceptable mm-hmm. with their practices. And, like...
And they don't know how to draw the line against racism because racism has become too rampant and too casually woven into everything on the internet.
Yeah.
That they just go, oh, but that would mean blocking and censoring everything.
Yeah.
And it's like, yes!
Yeah. I mean, look, essentially, their proposition is... The racism that comes out from people like Steve King, Donald Trump, all of their fucking followers, they're saying this is a valid part of the conversation. It mm-hmm. goes to the same thing when people are like, oh, you're just in an echo chamber. And it's like, we're not. Like, we are well aware of what racists think.
Yes.
It's, you know, the slight version of the echo chamber is maybe you don't viscerally feel like the proportion of racists out there. Possibly, but guess what? Like, especially people of fucking color, we're aware that it exists.
I also, or, you like, know what? I feel like you do. And I are both people who spend equal amounts of time, me less than you. I don't know. I feel like we both do a good job of spending enough time in the world and in the online world where, and those worlds can feel different and it can feel like those comments like, oh, you're in an echo chamber or you're in a bubble or whatever. I sometimes understand where people's tendency to label, you know, Hollywood types, writers, comedians, whatever, as that. But we are not those people because we are in the world and we are engaging. I'm saying this in incredibly simplistic terms, but like, I understand that those people do exist who are insulated, who haven't set foot outside of Los Angeles in 10 years, but that is not us. That's not who we are. So I reject any of that like echo chamber bullshit because I think by doing this show, we...
Well, yeah.
that's maybe the most direct way that we are not in a bubble. We have actively invited the poison in. we've asked a syringe to pierce the bubble and just inject us with full racism poison.
Send us the racism.
But yeah, I just...
In limited amounts. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm also like wild that they would screen grab that and not just like clip out the comments, man, at the very least.
Well, I mean, as far as I could tell, the comments was the only thing they were bringing to the table. Like, that's their content, is a place for people to, like, you know, it's basically a knockoff, like, iTunes store or whatever the fuck.
Whatever, your shit looks like MySpace. Get a better logo.
Yeah, it was,
get out
it
of here.
Was fucking ridiculous.
That was a good segue into news, Andrew.
Yeah, I just, it's one of those things where the tech shit, like, constantly gets me fucking down. And, like, and you know what? It's mainly that, like, it's that these people think, it's like libertarians or, like, I don't know, even centrist people on the left right now who, like, pretend that racism has a place at the table.
Mm-hmm.
That means that racism has a place at your table, but don't fucking pretend like it's a valid argument for all of us to need to hear.
No, just because you're willing to hear, quote, the other side.
Yeah.
The other side.
I mean, like, Twitter, for instance, is a right-leaning website that just happens to have a big enough user base that, you know, it's useful for people like us in entertainment, but, like, it's fucking, you know, the people who run it are fucking scum. And, like, they have a right-wing point of view, and that is what we're fighting against when we use it. And what we're supporting when we use it. So, whatever.
So, like, listen to Daily Zeitgeist if you want to hear Andrew talk about how great it is. It's dope, man. It got me a job.
No, I mean, it is like...
It's complicated.
It's complicated, but it is indisputably right-leaning. And it's right-leaning because they believe they do shit like this. Like, not ban Republicans for clear white supremacist speech while banning people of other colors for other types of hateful speech.
Mm-hmm. I may have brought this up on here before, but my favorite banning story, Paul F. Tompkins got banned. Did I say this on here?
Doesn't matter.
Who cares? You're going to hear it again. Paul F. Tompkins got banned for like 24 hours or something because he tweeted at Ted Cruz to kindly swallow 10D batteries. And someone reported it as like encouraging self-harm.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
It was obviously so adorably worded, and it made me laugh so hard. I mean, he was so mad that he was banned, but it...
Yeah, and how could Ted Cruz possibly be harmed by 10D batteries?
Truly, he's made of at least 12 of them.
Yeah, you can see exactly where his jaw unhinges, and the D batteries would slide right down with nary a problem.
Like a python.
Mm-hmm.
This is the only personal news I have. Speaking of Paul Tompkins, that reminded me that it was Comedy Bang Bang's 10-year anniversary. So that is 10 years of just wild nonsense that I was happy to be a part of. And
happy birthday to Scott Aukerman.
Yeah, happy 10-year birthday to Scott Aukerman, 10-year-old small man. Mm-hmm. He
big for a 10-year-old.
Yeah, big, smart for a 10-year-old. Accomplished, too. It makes me mad. I'm like,
nepotism.
Yeah, nepotism. His, you know, the Hollywood Aukermans. But he released a 10 motherfucking hour episode. That is a 600 minutes of nothing that's real.
Oh my God.
That's my favorite thing about improv podcasts. It's like when you do a long show like that, it's like there are no facts. Everything is full entertainment bullshit. And but no, I was very happy to be a part of it. So thank you to him. So listen to that if you got a sweet 10 hours lying around.
And we do.
I mean, everybody does, right?
Does it, are there good places to.
Don't know. Pause it? Won't listen.
They should listen.
I don't have that kind of time.
Yeah.
I feel like I know what everybody did.
Listen to it four times. Holy moly. Yeah. Congrats to Scott. I mean, really, just congrats to everyone.
Yeah, congrats to everybody in general.
What else? A friend of this show, Dre McKesson, is being sued by a fucking racist cop. Dre and the entire Black Lives Matter movement, sorry, Jesus, is being sued under some ridiculous bullshit, basically claiming that because there were protesters that threw shit at a rally that was, I think, it was Black Lives
Matter. Baton Rouge.
Yeah, in Baton Rouge, Black Lives Matter activists, people threw shit at a rally. An object hit a police officer who was injured, and he's suing, like, the concept of Black Lives Matter, basically, and DeRay as, like, a figurehead of that.
Also, like, let's just look at the words here. White cop sues an organization called Black Lives Matter.
I mean,
Matter.
For what it's worth, it's an anonymous cop in Baton Rouge.
Oh, okay. We don't know that he's white.
Yeah. Wink.
Sure. Sure. He's a white supremacist. I don't care what fucking color he is.
I know.
So that's just an interesting look where we've come.
Yeah, it's okay. But it's also like now we're at a point. So it was that, you know, it felt the small amount of reading I've done on this, it's like that's one of those like kind of nuisance lawsuits that probably it has no merit. It's like Dre obviously did not like incite violence against this cop. But it's also like Trump does shit like this all the time.
Constantly.
Clearly, the fact that they're going after Dre, and it was the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, which I guess now is packed with Trump appointees. So this is like, you know, the racist using the levers of government and not doing it equally. I mean, look, it's a racist judgment. It's a racist lawsuit. It's a racist man filing the lawsuit against this John Doe. I don't know.
Of course, he's anonymous.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say other than like, this is these types of things are the consequences of voting. Get out there and vote. Here's the thing. I'm also springing this on you, Tawny. Because someone asked if we were like supporting anyone in the primaries.
Oh, I don't know enough yet. I like a lot of people, but I don't want to put that out there yet.
I'm only saying. I've said this before. I fully find it so hard to give a shit about primaries.
Yeah, sure.
I'm just like, everyone's with an asterisk fine.
Everyone's with an asterisk fine. And the asterisk way down at the bottom of the page is just the entire backlog of episodes of this show where you hear our opinions about how everyone is troublesome.
Everyone's troublesome. Everyone is ultimately fine, and it's because of shit like this, right? It's because, like, you know, no Democrat, no matter how fucking evil, honestly, which whatever, it's fine if they are. It's like, you know, there's degrees of good and bad shit, and I probably should have more of an opinion, but like, honestly, like, you know, they're not going to be, you know, targeting civil rights activists. They're not going to be actively shutting down the white supremacy division of the FBI. They're not going to be assaulting women's right to choose.
Destroying our national parks, just letting our national parks rot and fester and selling off the land.
Yeah. I mean, you know, will they do problematic shit? Of course.
I will say generally, I have been thinking a lot about how, especially in this kind of circus of emotions that Twitter and the internet has made voting, and maybe just now that I'm like a grown up and paying more and more attention to things than I used to when I was younger, I've been starting to examine, like, okay, so if candidate A gives like a really brilliant town hall and says some things that really resonate with me, and I find myself on like an emotional, almost like I can't put it into words, but I'm going like, oh, I just like her or I just like him. And then I see another candidate who I'm like, you know, that person just seems like tough and maybe it's not what I like emotionally, but maybe that's what makes a better president. I've just been thinking more about how we've shifted into kind of this, we're reacting very emotionally to a lot of these people.
Yeah.
And maybe like my emotions, I don't know, I'm seeing two therapists right now. Maybe my emotions shouldn't be deciding who is the president.
Those two therapists disagree with each other. So that's,
I mean, they do. Yeah, they both are actually? Like, yeah, no. I'm going to one for like a specialized thing.
And you don't have to do any of this.
No, man, I want to talk about it. No. But it was just funny that I'm like, oh, so I'm like actively working on like my mental health and my like, you know, just emotional balance.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes when I react really well to something, I'm like, how has this been packaged so that it plays exactly to people like me that need to hear this exact thing right now?
Yeah.
You know, I'm joking about like, you know, therapy, meaning I don't have a good handle on things, but it is like, okay, so if I'm reacting emotionally to things, that can be good, but also not good. So I just am trying to keep an eye on like,
yeah, I mean,
important issues and listening to people smarter than me. Well, analyze stuff.
Maybe this is a thing, which is like, I think like, well, first of all, I think like my passion for not letting right-wing people win will kick in later.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just like right now, I'm utterly passionless about any of the candidates. They're fine. They're all, again, with asterisks, but honestly, not big asterisks.
God, whoever asked this question just hates us. I love being like, hey, well, who do you guys support? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm having a tough personal time, and you're framed, like, I have no passion.
It was framed as like, are you guys excited about X candidate as I am?
I see, I didn't
want to respond. I feel bad. It's been, I usually respond to the Instagram comments, but I just didn't. Because I was like, look, I want to make my case that I personally think it's great that anyone is excited about anyone, but I will never share anyone's enthusiasm for a candidate before they're running against someone. I only hate vote.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's the lesson.
I'm just going to ask my two therapists to see if they can agree, and then I'm going to pick whoever that is.
Yeah. Holy shit. I don't know if we have anything to say about, you know, John Singleton other than, you know, RIP to a great.
Yeah, paved the way, made a lot of space for black filmmakers. And, you know, I suggest going back and watching a film of his. I don't know how to, I don't know how to honor someone who, like, has just become a fabric of society in a way that didn't, like, I don't have a ton of personal connection to, but I know has touched so many things that I do have a personal connection to, other than just going back and consuming their work.
Yeah, I think that's what we should say about that. Let me see. So what else? We got to sit down with Eric Rivera.
Oh yeah. Week. Eric Rivera, very funny stand-up.
Really funny. Great dude.
Yeah, man. He's headlining HBO Latino's new comedy special, Entrenos Spot On, and it's already out.
Yeah. So check.
Watch it and listen to Eric. Bye.
Don't miss Hulu's all-new original series, Rami, now streaming only on Hulu.
That's right. We've been talking about it. It's based on the real-life experiences of comedian Rami Youssef. This groundbreaking comedy series takes viewers into the world of a first-generation American Muslim on a spiritual journey in his politically divided New Jersey neighborhood.
Rami brings a fresh new perspective to the screen as the series explores the challenges of what it's like to be caught between an Egyptian community that considers life a moral test and a millennial generation that thinks life has little to no consequences. I'm going to cut in on the ad copy right now and do a true testimonial. I was in multiple meetings last week where executives brought this show up as an amazing example of a thing to do.
So, it's buzzy. It's got buzz. People like it. And I was not in business meetings, but I was just talking to friends and everyone was like, have you seen Rami yet? So people are talking about it.
Get
so
in on
let it. Us know if you've seen it. Tweet at us. Tell us if you've seen it.
Yeah.
The series features postmodern meditations on love, work, and identity through the eyes of a modern-day Muslim American millennial and his family, and explores how challenging it can be to find deeper meaning in today's hyper-connected world.
Be sure to catch Hulu's all-new original comedy series, Rami. All episodes now streaming only on Hulu.
Ads.
We're doing a unique thing with Lisa Mattresses because Lisa knows how important rest is to a better life. Lisa is the foundation of a healthy, happier you.
So okay,
that's the beginning of the ad copy. So we did take it seriously. Last time we talked about Lisa, so basically this ad that they have in front of us it's like a branching. It's like a choose your own adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think most podcasts either get the standard Lisa mattress.
Or the Sapira hybrid mattress.
It's one or the other.
But they sent us one of each.
One of each.
Because there's two of us. And we're not.
There are technically
brother and sister
two of us.
Who live in the same bed. You know how you and your brother and sisters always sleep in the same bed?
Correct. Sort of a Charlie and the Chocolate Factory situation.
Uh-huh. Because we're not that.
Yeah.
They said, you bitches can have separate mattresses.
It's weird that they said that exactly like that, but
I kind of liked it.
100%. You know what? I liked it too. I didn't want to say it though.
Yeah, it was like in like a Cardi kind of way. I liked it. So,
but here's what happened.
They gave us the mattresses we chose. I said I want the standard Lisa mattress. It is the most popular multi-layer foam mattress. It is made with premium foams for cooling, contouring, and pressure relieving support.
Yes.
And I said I want to stick with the original because I've never done a mattress in a box type scenario. Yeah.
And I had said, I mean, frankly, what I had honestly said was, I don't care, send me either one. So they sent me the other one.
And they were like, Tawny clearly has a strong preference.
So they sent the Sapira, the hybrid mattress, Lisa's most advanced luxury hybrid mattress that's made with premium foams and springs for enhanced pressure relief with edge-to-edge support. The Sapira is thoughtfully designed with the best of both worlds. Also, I think last time I did the ad, I called it the Suspiria. That's not correct.
Probably not right.
But I don't know.
So then, Andrew, how did you like the Sapira?
But here's what happened. Turns out I do have an opinion on mattresses. I like a soft, foamy boy.
Okay. And I wasn't going to say anything because I was like, this is a good mattress. I'm fine with the softness of the standard. But when Andrew said, you know, the Sapira is a little firmer, my little ears pricked up.
Yeah.
Like a prairie dog on the prairie. And I said,
yep.
What if we did a little
hoink? I'm a prairie dog.
Hoink. Hoinkaroo.
Just dust all over the place.
I pushed my spectacles up further onto my nose and I said, what if
we traded
motherfucking mattresses?
Look, it wasn't super easy.
No, it wasn't smart because turns out the Lisa, the standard one, is a very different weight than the Sapira.
A little heavier. And of course, once they were unboxed,
very unwieldy.
Not super easy, but we traded anyway. It's fucking great.
It's fucking great.
They're both great, but I think we found our comfort depth.
So here's the thing. If you're a little softy foamy boy like Andrew, get yourself that standard Lisa mattress.
Hell yeah.
It's going to support all your bones and make you feel like you live on a cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
if you're a tough, hardened person used to sleeping on, supportive, firm things like me. I couldn't think of an analogy.
That's true.
Get yourself that Sapira hybrid.
Hard as nails Newsom's in the house.
Yeah. Okay. So don't miss out. Live healthier, live happier.
Bye.
Resting deeper.
Order today and get 15% off your purchase for a limited time at lisa.com/yo and use promo code yo. Let's see. Wait, so Eric, where are you based?
I'm based here in LA.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I moved out here, 9 years ago?
Oh, shit. Same. Where'd you come from?
New York.
Same.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh. I feel like I've lost to New York, though. Like, I go back, and I'm just, I got shoulder checked by an old lady, and I was like, yeah. I've lost it.
Do you know, that's what, I was at Dodger Stadium last week, and I realized, because I used to, like, one of my favorite things to do that probably says that there's something wrong with my brain is to go like hate walk Times Square, just like walk around Times Square and be like, I'm fucking better at walking than all you fools, and I'm not like that anymore.
I judge people's walks.
Yeah, because you know, like when you're in New York, you're like, where are you from? Why you walk like this? Where are you from? Why are you walking like this?
Right.
But now I'm the one that walks like this. I'm an asshole.
So you go to Times Square purposely to do this?
Yeah, to just be mad, have my headphones in, and be mad at how slow people are walking.
Oh God.
That was like a hobby.
the once a year I accidentally go to the mall by the Chinese theater here in Hollywood, and I'm walking down fucking Hollywood Boulevard with all everyone just staring at their feet because of the stars.
Yep.
Who decided to put shit on the sidewalk? Like, put the stars up at an eye level.
But I don't understand the people that take the pictures with the stars. Ugh. Like, I've seen people, like, almost lay down. I'm like,
yeah.
That's the
homeless
gross.
People pee there.
There's a lot of pee on the ground.
Oh, I pee there.
Yeah, we all, who hasn't peed on a Hollywood star?
Got to pee on a Hollywood
Glenn
star.
Glenn Close's star is like my number one spot. Since we're already rolling.
Yeah, we're here with Eric Rivera.
Yeah, what's up, man? He's a comedian.
Yeah.
He's a stand-up.
Yeah.
You said you were going to do the intro, but then I stole it.
No, now I want, because now you're at the part that you have the info at the in your phone in front of you.
I have all the info about
just
Eric.
Just go it.
You know
go
all the information.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's a writer, and you can see him this Friday on Entre Nos, Spot On, Friday, April 26th at 9 p.m. on HBO Now, HBO Go, HBO On Demand, HBO Your Mama, HBO Your Cousin.
Yeah, you have no excuse.
No, you have
on
no excuse.
All the HBOs.
Every HBO. HBO Your Cousin, though, is kind of a mess. Like,
because I've had...
She needs to finish dentistry
school. I've actually
school.
Had family call me like, hey, when is it? I'm like, Friday, April 26th. They're like... you know, Avengers is coming. I'm like, you can still watch it. You can watch both.
Yeah, the on-demand part of it is like, you can watch it anytime.
Yeah, there's no excuse.
Plus, you have a phone. Avengers got to have some boring parts. Just watch it in the theater.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Avengers is probably going to be real boring. We all agree.
There's something boring. No, don't start that. Are you a superhero fan person?
I am. I like all the Marvel movies. And now that I got kids, it's like a big thing. Mm. Something we can bond with because he's now turned 7. So that, like, that's cool.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good age for superhero shit.
Yeah. Is that shit too violent for... why have I even asked that?
You know what's so funny? There's a lot of like the adult euphemisms he doesn't get yet.
Yeah.
And it's not like they show blood.
Right.
So.
And there's probably, I imagine as a parent, there's just a day somewhere around like 9 or 10 years old where you're like, oh, they get it now. And
yeah,
then like
oh, yeah.
everything changes.
I'm you're waiting like, for that day to go, wait, what? Does he mean this? And I'm like, oh, boy.
Oh, fuck. Oh, man. What's the special about?
So HBO has done an amazing job of creating this platform for Latino comedians.
Nice.
There hasn't been one.
Yeah.
You know, and they're the forefront of it because they did Def Jam for the urban comedy scene.
Yeah,
so now they're doing it for the Latino scene. And it's pretty much putting on blast these comics people don't necessarily know about. Like, everybody knows George Lopez. Everybody knows Gabriel Fluffy Iglesias. But after that, if you're like, hey, name five, I'll give you $1,000.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody could rattle off five.
That's, you know what? Ones. There's like that weird moment where I was like, because there's a sort of similar thing with Asian comedians where you're like, you know, I could be the top. I could be like the 10th funniest Asian person.
Right.
No one even fucking knows who like 8 through like 20 is.
Yeah.
You don't know I'm not number 10.
Exactly.
I'm probably not. But you don't know
you
that.
You don't know that.
That's something you could lead with at party zone. People would be like, sure.
Yeah. Certified 10th most funny.
Yeah. You put that on your website, put it on business cards.
Yeah, how are they going to know?
Yeah.
How are they
going to
know?
Fact check this.
But I think that's the same. It's a little bit with like Latino folks where there's, although I guess with like Latino comedy, there is more of like an underground, not underground scene, but like a scene.
There is a scene. Yeah. There's especially here on the West Coast, like when I first moved out here, there's, you know, like Echo Park and East LA. And when I got out there, I was like, oh, this is not my scene. What happened here? We are different.
Oh, yeah. Well, where are you from before New York?
I'm originally from New York. I was born and raised in New Rochelle.
Oh, okay.
It's the suburbs.
Cool. Yeah, totally.
It's like right above the Bronx because anytime anybody from New York here is like, oh, I'm from Westchester, they're like, oh, up in the mountains? He's like, no. I'm like 20 minutes out.
Not mountains yet.
Yes.
It's about, you know, it's away from the city enough.
Yeah.
Right? No, not really.
It's
you're pretty in the city.
20 minute train ride.
Metro
North gets you right into Grand Central and then you're in.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
I love talking trains.
I love talking New York.
I know. I actually really like hearing about
Tim's,
trains.
Yankees.
Are we just naming New York shit now?
Pizza.
Sure.
That's
bagels.
All.
Okay,
oh,
good.
Bagels.
Yeah. Gotta do bagels. People get really mad here about the bagel situation in Los Angeles.
They do.
I guess it's bad.
It's the water. That's what they say.
People say it's the
but
water.
But once you've been here long enough, it's like, I don't even remember.
Yeah.
Any bagel's fine.
Yeah.
They're all fine. You know, actually, I people don't believe me, and I don't know if, Eric, you can back me up on this, because this might be heresy, what I'm about to say, but I feel like my favorite Asian food and, Latino-ish food in New York is those like Asian women that make the quesadillas. Have you been to those places?
No.
Like a fresh, I think it's called like fresh tortilla or something. And it's clearly in New York, and it's clearly like Chinese women who are just like, I don't know, fuck it. We're just going to like tacos now.
Well,
like,
I know once you got into the boroughs, like Queens and the Bronx, they would have what they would call Chino Latino restaurants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so maybe that. Maybe
it was like Chinese food, like fried rice, and then you'd have like, you know, like mofongo, and you'd be like, wait, what?
How yeah, did these what two is come this?
To fried plantains and wonton. Okay.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Yeah. I don't know what that is, but I think that's some of my favorite food.
Right.
But it sounds amazing.
It's wildly disgusting for you.
It's so it's bad for you, but
it's so it's bad for you in a way you can't. It's indescribable.
Well, lots of things are bad for you, but like they're not an experience. So
yeah, this shit is wild.
Yeah,
only in New York. Let's fucking let's start with a voicemail.
Yeah, man.
And then we'll go from there.
Hi, Tawny, Andrew, and guest. I know you talked a while ago about pronouncing the names of different cultural foods properly.
Ooh,
but
nice
what
segue.
About people's names? I'm a white person. I'm a white woman, and I love the incredibly funny and very talented Hasan Minhaj. However, I've gotten some snarky comments from people that it's racist and douchey to pronounce his name properly rather than the Americanized version, which would be Hasan Minhaj. I literally watched a clip of him on a talk show today trying to help the host pronounce his name properly. So is it racist to pronounce someone's name properly? Is it douchey? Is it neither? Love the show. Thanks for any insight you might have.
Did y'all see this clip?
I did see it
Ellen?
On Ellen, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was huge. It was like her clip of the day, I think she picked it as. I don't watch Ellen, but she picks like a clip every day.
Got to watch the clip.
Got to watch the clip.
Get that fucking clip
so
out.
So everybody see the clip. But yeah, he's like literally, you know, just in a friendly, fun way, like saying, hey, everyone has been saying my name wrong, and like, here's how you actually pronounce it.
Right.
So I do know people now that now say his name correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a national clip of him asking people to say his name correctly.
Right.
I don't know. I'm kind of like, anyone who tells you you're being douchey.
Okay. You're again.
I'm saying say the man's name the way he wants it to be said.
Yeah.
Now that we know.
I hear that. I don't know. What do you think?
I like the effort.
Yeah.
If you're going to try to pronounce dishes or names right. I don't like, because I, you know, I've been doing comedy for a long time, so I've gotten people like, oh, what's your name? Eric Rivera. Okay, cool. Give it up for Eric Ramirez. I'm like, you didn't even.
Whoa.
Wow. You just took a hard left. You just did not care.
But do you ever get white people that like lean extra hard into pronouncing like Rivera?
Oh, like
or
the
anything?
Rolling R's?
Yeah.
Or yeah. Yeah. And that doesn't bother me as much as if they didn't even try.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
I,
my wife, she is not Latina. She's white.
Mm-hmm.
So like for her, she's always like, wait, how do I say that? Because she doesn't want to insult my family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sure some of my family's like, you're really going to try to roll your R's?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, good for you trying.
Well, that I think that's a little bit of the dilemma that white people are in.
Yeah.
Largely white people, but native English speakers are in this situation where it's like, which is worse?
Right.
Like just whitewashing it or doing it kind of badly but trying? Because there's like, you know, kind of valid criticisms on both sides, I feel like. What I will say, though, specifically for this woman who called in, the way she sped up pronouncing Hasan Minhaj, like that little bit, where I was like, now I think you're putting too much on it. Like, because it didn't sound casual.
Oh, don't you think it's because she's nervous because she's been shamed about it?
Maybe.
Here's the question. How many times do you think she practiced that voicemail before leaving it? Okay, this is what I'm going to say. Okay.
Well, honestly, probably because we don't have a lot of names like this in entertainment. So
people
don't have a lot of practice saying these names. And like, there is a big difference between the name Hasan and Hasan.
Yeah.
Like, there's a, you know, it's, to my understanding, they're spelled differently. So this comedian is saying like, hey, everyone's been saying it wrong and that's okay, but like, here's how you really say it. So if you want to say my name right, please do.
Maybe I'm just
being sensitive because I have a different name. And so, and it's not at all like racial. It's just my parents are trying to be extra. Uh-huh. So like, I want people to say my name right. And I don't want to be called Tony or, you know.
Oh, yeah. Whatever. I hear what you're saying.
But also if somebody says it incorrectly, like I'm not going to be mad at them.
It just feels like to me, it's like one of those, like, there's no like logical hard line, but like, you just know when it's wrong.
Right.
Like, you're just like, oh, no, I didn't like that. I just didn't. And I think the caller fell into that side of it. It was like, right. I'm like, I can't say what she did wrong.
Right.
But I'm just like the way she said it, I was like,
Yeah.
I don't like it.
I think maybe. She's good as long as she doesn't make it. I like that comic, that Indian face guy. What's his name? And then you're like, now. At least she's putting the effort in.
I think for me, it comes out most in LA at a white person late night at a taco truck where like their small amount of Spanish really comes out. And I was
See,
like,
that's patronizing. Amigo. I'm like, that gets me mad. Especially like walking through like Hollywood before. Like,
yeah,
I don't like when the homeless person adjusts like, hey buddy, hey, you got a dollar. And then I walk by, hey Poppy, amigo.
They're like, oh, it's a language barrier.
And I'm like, wow. Yeah. That's why he's not giving
me
the dollar.
This is Target. Marketing.
Yeah, then I'm like, all right, dude, come on.
Well, I mean, speaking of LA, it's the whole like Los Feliz quandary.
Yeah.
When people move here and they're like, Feliz, that's not how you say Los Feliz. But like, if you say Los Feliz to anyone, they're like, okay.
Right.
They act like you're being an asshole.
Yeah.
I guess you probably are, because like, no one's fighting the Los Feliz.
Yeah. Do you feel like there's a difference between like the way. I feel like in Southern California, like Spanish language stuff is like more pervasive. Like everyone, like whether it's the Americanized versions of like neighborhoods or streets or whatever. Whereas like in New York, it doesn't feel as much of that. Like white people don't, or again, white native English speakers don't feel as much ownership over the Spanish language.
Right.
Is that, I mean, I don't know. Am I over?
I have found it like in LA, there are those pockets where all of a sudden the billboards and everything's in Spanish. I'm like, oh, that's it. Like, you don't really see that in New York and like the boroughs. Yeah. Like, if you go to Spanish Harlem, the billboards aren't like, oh, Chick-fil-A, come aquí. They're like, oh,
right.
Oh, we're in a new neighborhood, guys.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Okay.
I like the idea of Chick-fil-A trying to pander to anybody's fucking ass.
Let's do the next one.
Hi, Tawny, Andrew, and guest. This is another caller calling out her family.
Yes.
I am a first-generation Mexican-American, and something that I have tried to unlearn for a very long time is just the whole idea of pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, because my dad and mom, my parents, were able to create a very comfortable life for themselves. They've obviously struggled to get there and were very fortunate and had a lot of opportunities. And then seeing other people who may have not had those same opportunities, kind of having some comments about, oh, well, they just don't work hard enough or they just don't want it bad enough. And this came up once when I was in the car with my dad, and he mentioned something about Black people and how, well, I came here, I didn't know the language, I didn't have the same education, and I'm doing fine, why can't they? And because he's a very difficult person to talk to, I just had to get straight to the point and could only get in like a little piece. And so I just said, well, you would give up too if you were running a marathon while everyone was just taking a walk. But that was obviously not the correct, I don't think that was the correct response, and I wasn't able to actually have a conversation with him about it. And this has come up before with other older individuals that I've talked to, and it just seems like a really frustrating thing. Just how do you have that conversation? What should I say, especially if you only get like a sentence in? Thanks for the show. Bye.
Sorry for the long voicemail.
Caller,
try to keep it short. Okay.
She got into a tanglement with her damn dad.
She's a first generation Mexican.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good luck.
Do you have some experience with this?
You're not going to change the mind of old Latinos. It's like having an old iPhone. The operating system's outdated. Good luck rebooting that system or upgrading that software. It's just never going to happen. Like, I have grandparents that, like, I remember my grandmother when I was like in high school dating. She was like, have fun, but don't know Black women. And you're like, wait, what? You can't say that. Like, no, it's just, you know, you don't want that. And I'm like, wait, what do you mean? Like, you're never going to beat them. Like, that's the way they're programmed. And it sucks.
Yeah.
You wish everyone could upgrade the software, but some people are just not going to let you.
It's so, well, and especially in a family dynamic where it's like, how the fuck are you going to speak to your elders a lot of times like that. I don't know. I mean, my strategy is the most cowardly one with my, especially like my aunts and uncles, where I'm just like, just change the fucking subject.
Oh, yeah.
And then blast them out on this podcast.
Well, yeah, and then talk shit on a podcast.
Hell
yeah.
Put it on social media.
Yeah. So that's not healthy or responsible.
No, it's good. White Uncle Michael has become an international staple.
My white uncle's a different story because just fuck him. And I'm rude to his face, but it's harder good to be rude to like my aunt's face.
Sure.
I don't know.
It's hard to now, be rude to an auntie of all stripes.
Is this, when you say white uncle, married in? Or?
Yeah, married in. Okay. Married in. Yeah, all right.
I see. I have the same dilemma. Like some of my wife's family, hardcore Republican.
Oh, shit.
Our president. And you're just like, boy. Holidays get a little awkward.
Yeah, I know. And it's like, I think the thing that I've noticed, especially since, you know, in the last couple of years, it's like, it's at least before they had like the good sense to mostly keep their mouth shut around me. And now they're so confident and they're like, fuck.
Yeah. That's why I always like to just double down on the awkwardness. Anytime they say something like, "That's this border control," I'm like, hey, quick question. Where can I pick up one of those cages for my kid? Is that going away? And I don't want to pay for a sitter.
That's a pretty good one, actually.
Just double down on the awkwardness.
Yeah.
And do they have, and especially because you're a stand up, so you're quick. Oh, I bet they have no. They have no recoil. They have no response.
No, it's usually like dumb blank stare and then just slowly walk away.
Yeah. They're like, well, we can't have a conversation.
You got to at least hit them. You got to at least hit them. That's great.
Yeah.
Does your, in the case, without prying or getting you in trouble, does it ever make, like, does that sort of response ever make, because I'm going to assume these are your wife's, like, blood relatives. Yeah. Does it make your wife uncomfortable?
Oh, no. She loves it that I double down on them. Because she's just like, wow, you really, because I find, and I don't want to stereotype and say it's all white people, but I find, like, white families, when there's an issue, don't really talk about it or hash it out.
No, that's tracks. Yeah.
It's always, like, an awkward, okay. And then it's like, did you know that Aunt Kathy was upset? Like,
yeah.
No. Say, in my family, everyone's yelling at each other, gets it out, and it's like, it's healthy. It's
right. So oh, that's interesting. Right.
So she loves that I throw it out. She's like, wow, you really.
Right.
Because
really it's a different style of like, look, if we're going to talk about it, let's talk about it.
Because they're not going to engage. They're not going to butt heads. They're just going to slowly just walk away.
Yeah. God. And then they're going to have a hushed phone call, a landline phone call about it later.
I left you a message on your answering machine.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about Carol's husband.
He was not happy.
No.
Oh, God.
Should we do something? No, I mean, half my family's white. That tracks. Yeah. People don't talk about shit.
I feel like, Tawny, you've talked about it before on the pod. Like, you do a good job of, like, at least, you know, with your dad just being like, don't say that in public. at the very least.
My dad is also funny, so that helps. My dad has a good sense of humor. He has also gotten more progressive in his old age. So for an old black guy, he is like actually leaning further left and being more open. And like he's gotten way better on like gay things and trans things. And if you had told me as a teenager that he would be where he is now, I would not have believed you because we used to have fights about this, like yelling fights, like in restaurants, I'd be like telling him he couldn't say things and it would get heated. But so he's gotten better and I don't know that that's because of me. I think it's more because of like the internet, which he is on a lot. And he started realizing that he was just incorrect and he's gotten better about it. Yeah, I mean, I really do think that,
by the way, mostly not how the internet works. So that's amazing.
I know. I really do think that he saw like our country as slipping into people's hands that he didn't agree with. And he realized that some of the things he used to say about minority groups were also the language that these fucking racists and bigots were using.
Right.
And he was like, oh, wait, I don't want to be on their side.
That's true.
So I think that helped him.
Maybe the internet, it does like put in very stark terms like who your team is.
Right.
And then you can look around and be like, maybe I shouldn't be on this team.
Oh, shit.
What happened to my team?
My team's looking like a bunch of fucking Nazis.
So maybe this call needs to get her dad on the internet.
Yeah.
Actually, get him maybe.
On 24/7.
I mean,
because
here's the thing, like, well, what I know about Black and Latinx folk is that they love to laugh. So get your dad on some Black Twitter shit.
Yeah.
And he's going to start being like, damn, these Negroes have done a great job in this country.
Okay, so that's our solution. That's right, caller. Get your dad on Black Twitter.
Show him some memes. Come on.
Please don't follow up with the results. We don't want to know. All right, let's do the last voicemail.
Hi, my name is Julia from Phoenix, Arizona, and my question is about Ariana Grande and whether her spray can is racist.
Thanks. Bye.
Nice and short. Fucking wait, 11 seconds.
Her spray tan?
Yeah. So Ariana Grande, I don't know if you have seen like side by side photos. Well, first of all, I'm gonna say something just for background facts. I don't know if you know this. She's Italian.
Okay.
She's not Latina in any way, I believe. I'm looking at Toddy and she's looking
at
me.
Goddamn, I did not know that.
I've never heard any of my people claim her, so.
Yeah, no, it's because she's not.
Okay.
This changes things.
And at the risk of having, obviously, we'll say a fairly enthusiastic part of the internet come after us, I think she's a person, like many pop stars, a white person who plays with race shit. You know, you saw it with Miley Cyrus a little bit. And you see, you know, lots of like white pop stars like dip into like being, you know, embracing person of colorness a little bit. You know, like Gwen Stefani is like, I'm a Japanese schoolgirl. It's like, no, you're not.
Yeah, that blows my wig back a little bit. I had always assumed she was Latina. Whoops. Right?
It worked.
It fucking worked, whether that was her intention or not.
Uh-huh. Maybe it worked. I don't know. What do you think?
I've never heard.
It's just a funny question. Saying, I've never heard my people claim her.
We've never claimed her. It's just such a funny question. Is her spray tan racist?
Yeah.
That's a wild and that's a like maybe overly simplified way to put a lot of the things that Andrew was bringing up, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's two sides of this. Look, obviously, if you say someone spray tan is racist, you sound like a lunatic.
Right.
However,
is her nail polish racist? What?
Because we have shamed people into leaving short, quick voicemails, I think people are just like, shoes, hat, bad guy.
Look at it. We need something to make fun of. And I think putting stress on the callers is, frankly, the only way to do it.
I wouldn't say it's racist. We've never claimed her. I didn't think she was trying to be Latina.
You didn't ever think she was trying to be?
No.
Even though she successfully fooled me?
No. Not you. I think my people, we smelled it a mile away. Like, not one of ours.
Oh, interesting. Well, then that it feels like even like a different thing too. Right. Because I feel like, well, first of all, obviously, like Latino folks in general, there like with the stand-up thing, there is like the culture of, you know, it's sort of like a parallel, not parallel entertainment industry, but you know, there's like Latino singers, like often maybe it's like Spanish language or whatever. Right. So it's like, you know, more like for that audience.
Yeah, she didn't throw like Spanish language album out. She didn't try to sneak in some Spanish phrase. She wasn't doing Al Pacino and Carlito's Way. Then I would have been like, hold on.
Right.
Hold up.
Although that's probably kind of a, but it is a weird thing where she is, I think, leaning into like person of colorness enough to fool white people, but not people of color or not like Latinos anyways.
I mean, I'll claim dumb and white on this one because
people of color can tell like, she's not being profiled by the cops. She's not one of us.
But I'm just wondering, I'm like, did she like pull off like the perfect middle ground where she's like brown facing it enough for white people, but not so much that she's actually doing it? Like,
I mean, maybe because
perfect needle thread.
I could be the tiniest minority. Like probably everyone in the world knows this. And maybe just because I'm not such a huge fan of hers and like don't follow that type of pop culture, I just glanced at her and assumed. But maybe no one else is confused.
Right.
I don't know.
We should do a Twitter poll.
Let us know. Twitter. What do you think? No, please. I don't want her name typed that much in conjunction with our show. It will bring out the stands. Please, everyone, do not talk to us about this.
Everyone shut the fuck up. Everyone like, take this episode, listen to this episode, snap your phone in half,
throw it in a lake.
And pretend you never heard any of this shit.
I think we need to open up a racist spray tanning place.
That's true. Yeah. Would you know? Given that white people are never going to give up on doing blackface, like, would it be irresponsible for at least people of color to make money from the blackface phenomenon?
Oh,
just like if you're going to do blackface, get a black person to do it for you.
Yeah. Or we come out with our own line of products.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Latina spray tans, blackface creamed. Oh, look at this, guys. We can
at least profit from it.
Right.
If Rihanna sold a blackface cream, I not only would I buy it, I would allow other white people to buy it.
Oh, boy.
Well,
oh God,
how do we get on Shark Tank? I think we've got it, guys.
Good afternoon, sharks. Ooh, what's my name? Hey, Nana. No. We all love Rihanna,
right?
Some people too much, but if they're going to be in blackface, someone might as well make money from it. Presenting,
blah, yeah.
Blah. Holy shit! Well, I think that's a good week. We solved fucking racism.
I think we did.
Yeah. Eric, do you want to tell people where they can see, hear more of you?
Yes. Follow me on social media, Eric Erik Rivera. If you can't spell Rivera, I can't help you. All right. That's as close as it comes. Follow me on Instagram. Follow me on Facebook. I'll even do one better because fan of the podcast. I've listened to you guys before.
Oh, thanks, man.
If anybody follows me from here, I will send them a free copy of my 1 hour special. It was a couple years back. You get a free copy of that, and then you can watch the HBO thing and you see the evolution of the comedian.
Amazing.
Look at that, guys.
That's a whole cool thing.
And then watch me Friday, April 26th on all HBO platforms, and then I know spot on.
And then the circle will be complete.
Yes.
You'll see all three iterations of you.
You'll get to see young Eric with hope in his eyes, and then you'll see older Eric who's been beaten down a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
You'll see the journey.
Yeah.
Nice. And which version did HBO get?
They got the older, wiser, a little beaten down, but still funny.
Good for them.
Still funny.
Beaten down, but still kicking. Well, congratulations.
Thank
man.
You, guys.
So fucking
thank
awesome. You.
Well, tune thanks in. For stopping by.
All right, guys.
Shouldn't we just come back in laughing? Like we just went for a stroll to the fridge and then came back.
I like how your fake laugh made me real laugh, and we could in theory cut out your fake laugh and make it just sound like I'm really laughing on our way back.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not.
We should have a warm-up comic in here. Oh, wait, is that us?
Unfortunately, it's us.
Are we our own warm-up comic?
God damn.
Everybody who was born in January, stand up. Would you ever do that job? We're not stand-ups,
wonder. Well, the few times I've, not the few times, I've been to tons of tapings, everyone. But,
we all have resumes.
I don't think you have, I suspect an improv, like a gregarious improv person might be better at that job than a stand-up. Because you're not usually doing a ton of bits, you're just doing crowd work.
Yeah. Oh man, I got crowd work for days. I used to teach like a toddler music and quote drama class.
Yeah.
And I could make a game out of one balloon for like an hour and a half.
Yeah, I suspect that's the real skill. Because that's like a very specialized job. It's about shooting the shit for people that don't know. They didn't realize they're going to be in a room for 4 hours as opposed to 22 minutes when they sat down for a show.
Yeah, they're like, this show is short, right? And it's like, nah, play
I mean, the show's short.
Yeah, but making it is hell. And you'll be here till 1 a.m. and they'll give you cold pizza.
It'll take a while.
Hollywood.
A while. Oh, we love Hollywood so
much. We love Hollywood. We love Eric Rivera. So thank you for being here to him.
Yeah.
In the past. Yep.
In the past. What else? Call in 323-381-7223.
What? 381?
Call.
You said 381. 323-389.
Oh, my God.
How many years have you been doing this? We're keeping all of this in. I can't believe I know the phone number and you don't.
323-389-7223.
That's 323-389-RACE.
Wow. That's terrible.
Follow us. We finally guilted at least one person into following us because there's more listeners than there are Twitter followers.
A lot more now. And it's like,
it's embarrassing.
What the fuck are you guys doing?
It's embarrassing.
How are you going to spend all this time listening to us and not just give us a follow?
Yeah, at least our tweets we like think about
and care about.
this is just blathering.
Who cares? Anything could
God,
be
upgrade
here.
Yourself. Upgrade your Tawny and Andrew content and
oh
look at our
gosh.
Twitter.
Yo, is this racist.com.
That's all.
Yeah. Oh, actually, just in case people are hearing this today when it comes out, I'm actually doing stand-up in Los Angeles at El Cid tonight.
Oh, so. Hell yeah. Come see Andrew be a warm-up comic.
Speaking of stand-up comedy, it's El Cid. It's called The Shit Show. It's a previous guest of the show, Abdullah Saeed's show.
And that is today, Wednesday?
Yeah, May 1st. I did tell him I would promote it, so here I am.
Here we are promoting it. Go to El Cid.
Promote that shit. Come see me tonight. It's a weed-themed show. Wink.
Hell yeah.
Really weed theme show.
Bring right. your tinctures.
That's it. Peace.
Bye.
Here's what happened. We read the last ad copy wrong, and we did, frankly,
too much of a delightful read, I feel.
Yeah, we got too into it.
So here's what's going
to
happen.
But that was supposed to be short, and this one was supposed to be long.
But we're going
to
read the long one quick.
Yeah.
Lisa knows how important rest is to a better life.
Lisa is the foundation of a healthier, happier you.
All Lisa products have been thoughtfully designed to go beyond creating a comfortable bed and to transform your bedroom into a sanctuary that you want to spend time in.
Look, the standard Lisa mattress, okay? I had it. I don't have it anymore.
Yeah.
It's Lisa's most popular multi-layer foam mattress that's made with premium foams for cooling, contouring, and pressure-relieving support.
Sort of more of my jam. I initially got the Lisa Sapira hybrid mattress, Lisa's most advanced luxury hybrid mattress that's made with premium foams and springs for enhanced pressure relief with edge-to-edge support. The Sapira is thoughtfully designed with the best of both worlds.
Lisa believes all people should have access to deep rest and relaxation.
Lisa donates one mattress for every 10 they sell through organizations that work in causes like foster care prevention.
That's really cool.
To date, they've donated more than 32,000 mattresses through more than 1,000 nonprofits.
In-home delivery and setup is available, as well as financing. They're doing lots of good stuff, you guys, okay? And once we swapped our mattresses so that Andrew could be a soft foamy boy and that Tani could be a firm supportive diva.
We got the perfect thing. Go rewind or fast forward to the
other ad. We don't
know
when things happened.
We did it. We told the whole saga. We did not realize that was supposed to be 20 seconds.
Don't miss out.
We're at 19 seconds now.
Live healthier, live happier by resting deeper.
Order today and get 15% off your purchase for a limited time at lisa.com/yo and use promo code yo.
That's LEESA.com/yo.
Promo code yo. Keep in mind that you also get 100 night risk-free trial plus free shipping and returns.
Good God.
Hey, this is Arnie Niekamp from the improv fantasy podcast Hello from the Magic Tavern. I fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King in Chicago into the magical land of Foon, and I started a podcast. Season 3 has just begun with a brand new adventure to defeat the Dark Lord. If you're a new listener or you've fallen behind, Season 3 is a great jumping on point. And we've got great guests like Justin McElroy.
I sound like a fancy college professor. Eight nuts.
Rachel Bloom.
You all see my collection of men corpses and one woman.
Felicia Day and Colton Dunn.
You've seen me have intercourse with a variety of species.
It's a bummer.
Andy Daly.
You have the members of Genesis listed, but Phil Collins is crossed out and then circled and crossed out again.
Yes, I have killed Phil Collins twice.
Thomas Middleditch.
Jesus! I mean, Jazos! Ruler of the Eighth Circle!
And that's just the beginning. Season 3 of Hello from the Magic Tavern is out now. Listen in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.